from the Edwin V. Johnson Newsroom, WHAB, presents the Open Mic Show with Jack Bevilacqua. Make your voice heard. Call 978-374-1900. That's 978-374-1900 or email jack@whab.net.
Welcome back to the Open Mic. I'm Jack Bevilacqua here every Monday night from 6:30 until 8:30. Our guest for the next section of the show is Phil Christie, who's been in radio for many years. He's a radio historian well-known throughout New England.
In the early 1950s, Phil Christie saw his hometown station grow into the big leagues and wanted to be part of it. WLAW AM 680 grew to 50,000 watts, opened new studios, and targeted the Boston audience. After a frequency swap, WNAC would soon take over the 680 dial position and years later become today's WRKO. Christie went to work in WLAW's new studios on the fifth floor of the Hotel Bradford, where he worked with Earl Mr. Midnight Guinan. Many years later, cigar-chomping Guinan would spend his retirement years Friday through Sunday nights on WHAV.
All right, everyone knows this one, the famous On Top of Old Smoky. Here we go. Watch the bottom of your screen for subtitles.
Oh, we ain't got a barrel of money.
Covered with snow.
Baby, we're ragged and fuzzy.
Met my true lover. Now, wait a minute, we have the wrong song here.
Singing a song.
With the DJ now reigning supreme in the nation's biggest cities, smaller cities like Bridgeport, Connecticut, and Worcester sought the prestige of big city talent. Bob Crane, who would later become Colonel Hogan in the television sitcom Hogan's Heroes, was at WICC in Bridgeport. He personally hired Phil as his replacement when he left for Hollywood and KNX to take over for Ralph Story. While at WICC, Phil moonlighted at New York City's original DJ station, WNEW. He entertained all night Saturday nights. WNEW at the time was the famed home of Martin Block's make-believe ballroom. Bernie Waterman, who bought Worcester's WAAB in 1956, also sought to recruit big city DJs. He wined and dined Phil until an offer was made for the prestigious morning slot, and Phil couldn't refuse. This also gave Phil an opportunity to return home to his Andover roots and make the daily commute to Worcester. That trek, though, almost ended his career when Phil was seriously injured in an automobile accident involving his Austin Healey.
Austin Healey, what were you, like a jet setter or something?
In those days, we were in car competition. I didn't race, but many people raced those cars. They were usually a foreign make car.
Yeah, Austin Healey was British, I think.
Right.
Okay. Yeah, okay. Well, let's go back again to WHAV, since that's where we are.
Yeah, right.
And my understanding is WHAV had the first weatherman on the radio.
They did.
So who was the weatherman?
Bud Smith.
You'll
never know that name unless you know that he was the janitor.
So the janitor was the weatherman. What did he do, like go outside and look and say, increasing darkness tonight?
You could go out and back of the station, look at his, he had instruments out there.
He did.
Thermometers, barometers, anything you can measure weather with. He'd come back in and we'd say, hey, Bud, what's the weather doing? And he'd tell you.
Really?
Considered himself some kind of authority because he had the equipment.
Really?
So he was radio's first weatherman, as far as
radio's first weatherman was the custodian at WHAV.
That's right.
That's a very interesting piece of information. In that last segment, Tim Coco mentioned Bob Crane. Bob Crane is Captain Hogan's Heroes.
Right.
So you knew him?
Not only knew him, but... at the time, I was working in New Haven, Connecticut. He was working in Bridgeport. And he got offered a job at WKNX in Hollywood to replace Ralph Story, who was going on to do a national quiz show. So Bob Crane made the move from Bridgeport to Hollywood.
Now, there's hope for me.
but he had to find someone to replace him.
Oh.
And that, because he'd done so well, he was practically a legend in Bridgeport. And he chose me for some odd reason. And he cloned me. I don't know how. You know, I had to take drum lessons. I never played drums before.
Wait a minute. What did you do with Tim, we need drums in here.
Because he played drums.
Yeah.
Whatever he did, I had to do. Almost.
Yeah, really. Okay, almost. That's the important part. Mm. So do you ever... Too many never called you to put you on Hogan's Heroes.
Who called me?
Too bad Bob Crane didn't call you to go on Hogan's Heroes.
Oh, no, we never got that far. We phone mailed each other when he was out on the coast. I asked him how the show was doing. He never made it as a morning show personality out there, but he was discovered by the Bing Crosby Studios, and he got himself a walk-on.
Hey, Tim, how come I can't be discovered?
Well, that's the way it goes out there. So they discovered, they thought he would be a great walk-on for the Donna Reed Show at that time.
Oh, my goodness gracious.
And that's how he started, Bob Crane. And then finally he ended up with a series for Bing Crosby Productions called Hogan's Heroes.
Really? Okay.
And that's all he needed.
And that was it. He was on his way to stardom. Okay. So I also see that Bob and Ray, I vaguely remember Bob and Ray.
Oh.
Were they a comedy team or something?
Are you kidding?
I'm not that old. You have to understand.
Are you from around here?
But I'm very young, so. Yeah.
Bob Elliott and Ray Goulding, they both met at the old WHDH where I started my first big radio job. And I was kind of wide-eyed, and, you know, I was only a kid at the time. I think I was 21 years old. But they were the comedy team of the time. They would kid each other. They started by, one would do the news, and the other would have the record show in back of it.
Yes.
So they would start making comments, and eventually it evolved into a thing where they had their own show, Bob and Ray.
Great. And they were on WHDH.
Yep.
Now, WHDH was 50,000 watts.
Right.
But the transmitter was pointed out to sea or something. It didn't get the same coverage as BZ did.
No, you're right there.
There was something weird about WHDH. I don't remember what it was.
Not weird. The original license was given to a Captain Matheson, who was a fishing captain.
Oh.
And he only got the license so he could know where to land the fish.
Oh, okay.
When he came in from sea, where the best port was to land for his fish.
So no wonder it pointed out to sea. Who's out to sea?
However, that's where it did.
Yeah, so all the guys in the boats were listening.
But the signal was very strong.
You know, Larry Glick was on WHDH, and he was on, like, nationwide for a long time. And Larry passed away a few years ago, I guess. But HDH was a big station. WBZ is still a big station.
Bigger, far bigger.
And back in the day, WBZ played a lot of music. They don't do that anymore.
No, but at one time they were over the legal limit because they had WBZ and WBZA in Springfield, which was another 1,000 watts. The legal limit is 50,000 watts, which was WBZ. WBZA in Springfield was 1,000 watts, so that gave them 51,000 watts.
Oh, my goodness.
And they had to break that up because it was against the rules.
Oh, well, anyway, and back then, AM radio was ruled the airwaves, and FM came in, what, in the 40s? And now,
it was kind of a backroom operation until some really smart guys moved in, and they started to play rock and roll.
Yeah.
You know, and that's when I kind of moved in. I went to WHDH at the time, and I became a program director only because of the music I tried to introduce, which was rock and roll.
Oh, you tried to introduce rock and roll to Boston in where, the 50s?
Where?
In the 1950s?
Yeah.
And was it difficult to do that?
Yes.
It was. Who was against you?
Everybody. WHDH was playing beautiful music. They didn't want any of that rock and roll stuff.
So, so you try to bring in rock and roll to Boston. That's very interesting, Phil Christie. And who were some of the bands that you tried to introduce?
Oh, gee.
Elvis Presley, Chuck Berry, those guys?
Not Elvis Presley, but there was Linda Ronstadt, and there was...
Yeah, she was hot.
She was. She was a great singer.
Yeah, she was a great... Then she went to like, Latin music or something.
That goes with a career, you know.
I guess
so. You gotta switch the pitch, as they say.
Switch the pitch. I like it. Linda Ronstadt and the Stone Ponies. She was really good, and she's still around.
Well, I'm surprised you remember the Stone Ponies. That was her group.
That's right, yeah. Yeah, I liked them. So I probably listened to you back then. I didn't even know it. So you played all the good music, and I thought I was like Joe Cool. Anyway, the number here is 978-374-1900. That's the number to call if you'd like to be in the open mic with me or with Phil Christie tonight. And you can still have a chance to take the cake from Emily's Bakery, located on Lincoln Avenue in Haverhill. Just call up and wish somebody a happy birthday or happy anniversary or something like that, and you can win a fabulous cake from Emily's Bakery. Time for a break. We'll be right back.
Jack Bevilacqua and the Open Mic will be right back. Get in on the action. Call 978-374-1900 or email jack@whav.net. If you are enjoying this program, please consider making a donation right now. Your donations to not-for-profit WHAV helps keep these vital community services on the air. Donating online is easy. Simply visit www.whav.net and click on the donate button.